Father, help me today not to get in the way of what I feel like you have to say. And so, Lord, I pray you continue to be with us and worship, and everybody individually would hear right from you to them. And I don't want to mess it up at all. And I'm prone to. So watch over me today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be strolling today. Where's my cup? There she is. I'm going to be strolling. Is anybody else have a busy week? Like, yeah, man, it was crazy busy. Yeah. It was a busy week. So take a breath and stroll with me. Sunday morning. Sunday morning, just relax. I want to stroll into the past a little bit to see how God can use those old past lessons from His Word to show us stuff in our now. And know that's one of the purposes. It's the Deep Root series I'm going to jump into today. It's going to be season 3, part 2. I see like they can do that kind of stuff in the world. They're like, aha! They don't. They just call it part 2 or part 6, or then they'll flash back to like when they're kids. You're like, what's going on, man? I'm lost in this series. Recap me. I'll recap you. We'll get there. I'll recap you. But we're going to be old school deep diving in Deep Roots again. Say Deep Roots. It's our Christian connection to the Old Testament. A lot of times people go, oh, that's boring. I want to read the Old Testament. No, you're missing God. Jesus is all, like, it's, if you want to be like super sleuth, find all the references that kind of appear to Jesus or Jesus-type things in there and dig it out. It's like an archaeologist. I recommend you do it. But sometimes, just the Old Testament by itself, just the deep roots, we need to be rooted down in some things again, right? Remember some stuff. So I am the church, and I have deep roots. So here's the remix recap. Deep Roots Season 1 was about God having a relationship with individuals. Like, He wants to have an individual relationship. The greatest relationship that He ever had, in my opinion, it seemed to be to me, was Abraham. Because He went from Abram to Abraham. And what was cool about that, yeah, He's the father of many nations, but here's his cool title. Friend of God. Like, come on, who doesn't want the title? Friend of God. Like, known by that's the friend of God. Yeah, that's the friend of God. Like, don't you want to be the friend of God? So it was a great first season, you know. And then we transitioned to season 2, and we talked about how God speaks more to individuals, right? Talk about Jacob, how God transformed Jacob to Israel. And we ended Deep Roots season 2 with a scripture. I'll put that scripture up real quick. That's how we ended Deep Roots seasons 2. Okay. It says in Genesis 33:20, there he, Jacob, erected an altar. Jacob erected an altar. And he called it, Jeff, what is that? Elohe Israel. There he erected an altar and called it Elohe Israel. Why do I pick up from recapping them there? Because I think here's an important lesson we don't want to lose from the past. You ready? You honor God when you do permanent things in your life to remind yourself that God said this and I'm going to stick to it. People do that with rings. They get married. Why? I'm going to remind what God said to me. Even when He didn't clean the beard hairs out of His sink. I'll remember that. It's a token, right? Pastor Heidi's like, I'll remember that. I'll remember. Even if I've heard this story 15 times and it's late at night and I'm tired, I have an altar on my finger. I will listen, baby. Right? You ever build permanent altars in your life to remind you of things sometimes? I forget stuff. The older I get, the more I forget. Don't laugh at me. Come on. But also, it's important to remember the things He has done in the past. Just when you come up against something, right? It's a good thing to have faith on. Well, if God got me through that last crazy thing, I guess I can try and trust Him for this crazy thing, but it seems crazier, right? That's where we are. Doing things to remind us that what God says is important. Say there's something about that. Something about that. Reverend Stearns would like that. Side notes. I got a slide for side notes, I think, don't I? A couple different slides. You ready? Here we go. Number one. Sometimes to become what He promised, you have to leave where you're at. Sometimes to become what He promised, you got to leave where you're at. Either emotionally, right? You had to grow up. You had to leave certain relationships. Who's with the first person you ever dated? Oh, no one? Well, you learn? Well, you can get away with it. Jen Brown, where is she? God. But, right, you learn some stuff. You have to leave some things emotionally to grow from some of those relationships. Anybody leave a relationship to grow emotionally? You're all afraid to raise your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Sometimes you got to leave someplace spiritually. Like, man, that was not a good place for me spiritually. I was kind of that. The doctor was good. My life was a mess. Anybody have to leave a spiritual place? I had to leave. How about physically? No, I had to move. Like, I had to move out of the country. I had to get out of that physical place. I don't live in my hometown anymore. Hallelujah. You know, I've got to move, right? Sometimes you got to also leave because you got to become healthy because you've been living in dysfunction. And you realize it for the first time, wow, I live in dysfunction. And if I'm going to be what I'm called to be, I got to leave that. Anybody? Yeah. Sometimes you got to leave to get new training. Miley apparently is getting some crazy training. She found me a possible Chinese translator for the Samoa base, so I love that. I'm stoked about that. Now she can come home. just kidding, Miles. Don't listen to this. Number two. Occasionally, to inherit the territory that he gave you, sometimes you have to go get it. You want that touchdown, sometimes you got to go get it. We're going to win, you got to get it. Oh, we drew up a great play, yeah, but you better push to get it. You have a job to do to get it. Sometimes, to inherit things God asks of you, you got to go get it. You go, well, some just whisk me to the promised land. I want to be prosperous, but I don't want to work at doing anything. I called you to prosperity, but you better get hustled to it. Say it again? No, just a different generation. I say that again, they'll leave. Sometimes to inherit the territory, you got to go get it, right? His word is full of promises that require individuals to get after it, to take some action. Say deep roots. All right, I'm going to catch you up. I'm going to skip around a lot. I'm going to skip around a lot through Exodus, but just remember things that Amanda says. When you feel like, man, why isn't he reading that? I want you to think this. Just go read it for yourself. Man, why'd you skip that part? That's a cool part. I know I'm skipping a lot of cool parts today. Trust me, I want to get caught up in the cool parts. I had media for the cool parts. But I'm going to skip around. So I'm going to leave us. We left off with Israel. The people of God are in captivity. Say they. Yeah. They, the people of God, are in captivity. You know why? Because they abandoned God for other gods. They got into Egypt and culture started dictating what gods they should worship, and what should be most important, and what should be first, and what should get. But they, right? Say they. Yeah, they abandoned God for the gods of their culture. And those decisions led to them being enslaved. Can you make a correlation? Or is this Old Testament talk? Can you see it? Yeah. Unfortunately, that still happens all the time to people who once served God. Ever know anybody who once served God? I mean, you know, don't raise your hand. Don't point them out because the mirror is awful telling too. But someone who once served God and they got off on a little bit and before you know it, they're not what seems to be anywhere as close to him anymore. Like, how did that happen? Other gods will lead you away. Right? They will. After a few generations, the people who were once a free people were enslaved in Egypt. Once free, now in slavery. I know I'm crazy. I'm going to skip over a lot of cool parts, like how God squashes Egypt or Pharaoh. Like, I like that part. I like to watch and read about how they get squashed. I'm just telling you me. You should go read it. Or maybe watch it. If you're old school, Charlton Heston does an awesome version. Yeah, right? The Ten Commandments, Moses, you know? And then, honestly, with a little spin and twist that I kind of like too, made me think, was the Prince of Egypt, the cartoon. Right? Yeah, it's so good. So good. There may or may not be media later. Deep Roots Season 3, Part 2, Episode 1. Right near the plagues as we're coming. Right when the plagues are starting to be done, there's a time that I want to concentrate on this. This is my main theme for today. You got to get out of Egypt. Right side, look at the left side. Say, you got to get out of Egypt. Left side, look at the right side. Say, you too, bro. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is a study on Exodus. We're going to bounce around a little bit in it. Moses and Pharaoh are close to getting a new... Moses and the people are close to getting a new way of life. They're about to get some new ordinances and have a whole new way of living. And the books of God contain some of those ordinances. I'm not going to go over them today. I was tempted. I'm not going to do that. But there's some hows on how God wants us to live to get stuff. I'm always amazed when someone will ask me something, and I don't have this happen a ton of times. People say, hey, I want this. This is what you have in your life. I want that. And I go, okay. Well, this is what I did. Well, don't be bringing God into it, bro. You just asked me how I got what I got. I'm telling you, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you ain't going to get what I got. I don't know how to help you any more than that, you know? Just saying. So God has ways that he wants to prosper us and do things in our lives. He just does. And we have to learn this, including you and me. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we have to accept this one very important fact. We need a deliverance from our own slavery. Right? Anybody else was a slave to something that maybe wasn't an Egyptian god, but maybe you put it in your nose? Hey, you see that hand? I see that hand. How about, I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be an addiction to this. Right? Slavery. Just slavery. Jesus delivered us from slavery. Right. He delivered us from slavery. So, in a sense, when we come to Christ, he started pulling Egypt out of us. Some of us he had to push Egypt out of. I need to push in as much as I needed pulling, you know. That's all I'm saying. Here's an old saying from Egypt. You ready? You can take the boy out of Egypt, but sometimes it's harder to take Egypt out of the boy. You know, just saying. The people of God need to rid themselves of a few things sometimes. And one of those things is dysfunction of Egypt and sin, right? But you know what else they had to learn in this lesson? They had to learn to rid themselves of something that's almost as detrimental. It's called complaining. What? Yeah, they had to get rid of dysfunctional living in Egypt and sin and complaining. And then they had to get rid of this too, a reliance on all things that are not him. Sometimes you don't know what you rely on until it's been stripped. Go, man, I didn't know I could quit energy drinks anytime I want. Not until my wife said, I'm not buying any money more, then could I quit him. And then I had to cold turkey it for a while. Rough. But I was a good boy and I got one today. So I'm just saying. His people have to get out of the mindset of slavery. False God and slavery, that mindset will kill you. Just say they. Yeah, just they. They have to get out of their... They do. And you know, they also have to get out of the deserts they may have camped in. Ever get out of something to camp in something else? It seemed good for a while, and it was good for a while, but you just camped there. You know? I know. I get camped at 86 all the time. Isn't it crazy? God gets them out of sticky situation after sticky situation. And they do good at first. They do. Ever call it for God to get you out of a sticky situation? He got you out of a sticky situation. And then you never got yourself into another one? Well, no, right? The people of God, right? It's clear. We understand. We get it. We often make more bad choices. But they got delivered out of the desert place too. Right? So you're not supposed to camp too long in the desert. Equally true, you ready? The importance about the desert? We better learn the lessons we're supposed to learn there and take them with us, or you'll stay there longer. You can march around a piece of ground for 40 years and not grow a smidgen, not change a minute. I'm serving God in circles, right? Got to get out of the desert. I mean, they have to get out of the desert, not you. I put a note here to make sure I emphasize. You're not in the desert. No. There are some lessons we should never forget, though, right? Sometimes, just say it. So we're picking up the story here where they experience slavery, then they experience God's miracles. You know, frogs are a thing, and darkness when it's supposed to be light, and, you know, just locusts and just crazy things. God was smashing Egypt with plagues. But the last one was so intense, it's still memorialized today. Actually, Israel just ended celebration of Passover. Passover. They left with this food and clothing and bling and all that, and they were set free. But A horrible thing happened for that to take place. We'll read about it. And they celebrated death passing by them. Celebrated. Thank you, they didn't. And know what they did? They spread blood of the Lamb over their doors. They said, "We're covered by the blood. You can pass by here." Anybody see any Jesus analogies there in our life? Yeah. Yeah, so that's true. I think it's important. But you know, it's really hard when you get set free from something, you get out of something, now what? How do I live like that now? I've been a slave, an addict, a cultural prostitute forever. Social media leads my life. What I wear, what I do, what I say, what I think is the latest trend. And that's what it's going to be. Right? We pick up bad habits in Egypt, you know? So let's go to Exodus and our recap. Exodus 4, 22 through 23. It says, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say to you, let my son go. Let my son go that so that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn.'" At that moment, if I'm Pharaoh, I'm just thinking, man, haven't you seen? You've been getting crushed. What makes you think he's not going to be who he says he is and do what he says he's going to do? What happened time and time again that says he's not going to show up? But unfortunately, it happened just like he said. God always keeps his word. The angel of death passed over the blood. Jesus does that for eternally. But they experienced Passover and death was all over in the city, right? Exodus 11:1. "Then the Lord said to Moses," say God speaks to individuals, say God speaks to his people, "I will bring yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt." The hard part about him speaking to individuals and to people, he also deals with individuals and people, right? "After that, he will let you go. When he lets you go, you will most certainly drive you out of here completely." Say completely. Mm-hmm. They get out of Egypt, and Egypt send them out with stuff, right? Just pack their bag, get out of here. Now what, though? You've left, really, that's the only culture they've ever known. Anybody who live outside the U.S. for longer than 6 months, ever? Right, you just think different. Things start happening, it's different. They would live there their whole lives in the culture of Egypt, knowing about God, but living in the culture. Generations. So is it safe to say they were raised in dysfunction? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Been raised in dysfunction? Anybody raised in a completely functional home and you grew up like, wow, yeah, 100%. Nobody? Nobody. So we can relate to dysfunction, right? Slavery. They grew up enslaved. They grew up without God. But now Egypt is behind them and they're getting delivered. Say, so now what? Now what? Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speaks to individuals, "Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp in front of Jeff. Fifth half for Shmashim Bashim. Between Midgol and the sea. For you shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the Israelites," hold on, there's foreshadowing here. I'm going to stop here because I want us to really get it. Old stuff in your life that's not completely dealt with, sometimes, will track you down and sneak up and reattack you. Anybody ever felt I got through that. I don't do that anymore. That didn't got me. I'm done. I'm done. Put it behind me, praise God. It always feels like somebody's watching me. Yeah, they're coming. Man, before you know it, man snuck up and got me again. I had another handful of dark chocolate chips. Darn it. Reattacked. Pharaoh will say, "They are wandering aimlessly." Ever have that said in your life? Wandering aimlessly. In the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Now hold on. their God seems to have trapped them in. Remember we said, by the sea, by the sea, by the sea. Their back is to the sea. They got no place to retreat if they were to be attacked, but they got by it, right? They're not going to be attacked. They got sent out of Egypt with blessings. They're singing songs, you know? They're boogieing on the way out. You know? So the wilderness has shut them in. But these people are obeying, they're learning to obey Moses' GPS system, God. Like, no, this is where he said to stay. Camp here. We're pretty exposed here. We're supposed to camp here. It's not really a good idea. The Congo, Lord, can you send her someplace else? Like, you know, Manhattan. Something like that. I don't know. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians shall know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord. And they did so. Exodus 14:5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, here's a side note, ready? This is probably too relatable to some people, but I want to say it. The selfish people, the scorned, the abusers, often have a hard time letting go of their victims. Abusers often have a hard time of letting go of their victims. The king of Egypt said, they fled. Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people. And they said, what is this that we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us. Hey, Egypt is the world power, man. They're establishing culture left and right. We should be first. We should be their masters again. Yeah, I let them free before, but I'm their master. So Pharaoh harnessed horses to his war chariots and took his army with him. And he took 600 chosen war chariots. And all the other war chariots of Egypt with fighting charioteers over all of them. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he pursued the Israelites. Why? As they were leaving confidently and defiantly. The people were partying, singing songs, and maybe talking a little trash. I don't know. If your guys like Caleb and I, would talk a little trash on the field. Just a little bit. Trying to talk to me. You got to bring, is that all you got, Pharaoh? You want more frogs? I didn't think so. Yeah, and thank you for the necklace, Mrs. Moshenbosch, and it was great, you know. I don't know what kind of trash they talked about. The Egyptians chased them with all their horses and war chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and they overtook them as they camped by the sea. Ever feel trapped in by the enemy? Ever feel like, I don't know how in the world is he going to get me out of this one? I know he got me out of the last one, but this one seems, I'm trapped. Only a miracle will save me this time. Not like the last time I asked for a miracle and it showed up, but I mean a new, harder one, you know. As they camped by the sea near Fazabazi, Fazi Bear. Okay. Yeah. Let's put a slide up. I think I got a slide. The things that enslave you want to keep you enslaved. The things that enslave you want to keep you enslaved, right? God always has a plan. We just got to listen for it. Exodus 14:10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were frightened. So what'd they do? So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Say, good move. Right? But check this out. And then they said to Moses, oh, I got to pause here. Can you say this with me? Leadership ain't easy. Check this out. Okay, they cried out to God, but immediately they go to Moses, even before God answers them, and start fussing. Wild. I just got you out of Egypt, bro. No, don't do that, Moses. You're making Pharaoh mad. I got this. God sent me. I don't want to be with you people. I was happy. I left here on my own. I came back because he told me to. He told me to come back, that I had to come back and be this deliverer. I'm not perfect. I actually whacked a dude, and I don't want the job. But I got the job, and this is what he told me to do. And then we're out of Egypt. Remember we were slaves about 4 minutes ago? Yeah. You cried out to God, and now you're complaining to me. Leadership ain't easy. Then they said to Moses, it's because there are no graves in Egypt that you, blaming Moses for this. Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you, idiot Moses? Apparently God wasn't in charge at all. It was just idiot Moses. Then they said to Moses, it's because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Come on, bro. We need to stop blaming everyone and seek God. See, slaves have a tendency to be victims all the time. I'm always a slave. Slave, you don't know my life. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Right? Nobody knows my... Yeah, we do. We heard it 14 times. And you've been camped in the desert right there. What did God say? Well, I don't know. Then start talking to him until he talks back. Just saying, I'll move on. It's not on the notes, you know. You got to stop blaming the one guy, Moses, who shows that he's been listening to God. When he said it, it happened, right? So you're blaming the one guy. Plus Moses, like I said, he didn't want to do it. It's like, look, I didn't sign up for this job. I was forced into it. What is this you have done to bring us out of Egypt, to put us in another tough spot? Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. We were happier in our dysfunction because we're just so familiar with our dysfunction. We decided to go back. Let's just go back and live in dysfunction because at least we were living. Not crazy, right? No one does that. For it would have better for us to serve the Egyptian as slaves than to die in the wilderness. And you know what's crazy? Those aren't the only two options. And those aren't the only two options. Well, I guess we either go back or we die. Well, bro, have you talked to God? Is that like what he said? Has he said those are your options? Say, oh me. No matter what miracles or how many miracles God does for his people, the very next tough spot, they forget. They. Yeah, they forget. Yeah. And they start fearing again and blaming others. But say, that's not us. That's not us. We're the church. Don't mumble. Say good. Don't grumble. Say nice. Exodus 14. Exodus 14, 13 through 18. Then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. I love this. Take your stand. Don't be afraid. You got to take a stand. We got to get the inches, man. You got to hit the sled. I don't want to. You better hit the sled. You got to take a stand. Why? Because if you're going to get through the line ever, you got to learn to take a stand sometimes. And it's not easy. Take your stand. Be firm and confident and be undismayed. Basically, remember all that God has done and what he said. Do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, check this out, who you have seen today, you will never see again. I'm about to close some things out completely because only I can close them out. I'm going to get you out of Egypt. Learn this lesson. Take a stand and see what I'll do. Now, Egypt is about to have the worst documented destruction of its army in history. A cool thing, there's Red Sea archaeologists recently that have found on the seafloor 400 plus dead skeletons with weapons from some century they're unaware of. Isn't that crazy? Crazy. Crazy. It says the Lord will fight for you. Oh, what do we have to do? Well, you only need to keep silent. Look at your neighbor and say, chill. Sometimes you just got to chill like God's going to do it. I know your back's to the wall. Seek him and chill. You only need to keep silent and remain calm. Keep silent, remain calm. Ever been in a tragedy with your back against the wall and you have no idea how you're going to escape and it seems detrimental? How many of you just go, yeah, I got this. I'm just chilling in my calm zone. No, you're setting the prayer chain on fire. Hey, Jen, it's 3 a.m. You're not sleeping, are you? Pray for me. Huh? Yeah, no, I'm not fearing or nothing. I'm calm, you know, just I'm chill. The Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent and remain calm. I think somebody needs to hear that today. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Ah, Lord, you just, I can't. What did you say to me? So why are you crying, boy? He says, tell the sons of Israel to move forward. That's the sea, Lord. Forward is the sea. We're not boat people. We have no boats. We have necklaces and worn out shoes. No boats. Tell the sons of Israel to move forward toward the sea. Keep walking towards the sea. Go tell them that. They're already kind of in a sour place, you know. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, so that the sons of Israel may go through the middle of the sea on dry land. I'd be like, Lord, can you repeat what you just said? Could you say that again? He says, as for me, God's like, that's what you're going to do. As for me, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will go into the sea after you. Sounds like a great plan to take to the people that are grumpy. Hey, go into the sea. Apparently, I'm going to part it, and then the Egyptians are going to follow us in there with their chariots and stuff. Tell them that? Okay. He says, and I'll be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army and his war chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord, when I'm glorified and honored through Pharaoh and through his armies and his chariots. You ready for a slide? I think I got another slide, don't I? Some stuff we have to confront so that he can destroy it. Some stuff you got to confront. Some stuff you buried down. It's time to confront it. This is the season to confront stuff. Why? Because it's chasing you, and it's time to let it get destroyed. Can't have it on your back anymore. Can't be looking over your shoulder at Egypt. When's it coming? It's time to get off that thing. No more. Sometimes you got to look at, you got to take a stand and go, it's going to be hard, and this thing's probably going to kill me, but I'm going to take a stand. Oh, you know, Popeye's had all I could have, and I can't stand no more. Yeah, sometimes you got to take a stance. You have to. Obeying and trusting God will change you, and it'll change the next generation. They must change too. They have to change so others can be born free. Say this with me. I need the slavery in my life smashed for good. Exodus 14. The angel of God who had been going in front of them of the camp of Israel moved. Okay. Moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud along with darkness, even by day to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites. It's a crazy cloud. You know, if I'm the army of Pharaoh, I'm going, hey, is this a great idea? You want to do this? Remember, they were smashing this. Remember? Like, I still have frogs at my disposal. Do we want to do that? And dude, you lost a son. Or you're that big of an abuser that you're going to come after them with all you got? And since I serve culture, I guess I'll just come after them too. Don't be a slave in Pharaoh's army. So one army did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back. I wonder if it said, notice how like all day it happened? He told Moses to do it. And I wonder if Moses was like in his tent going, I don't know if I do that. Is that what you really want me to do? I got to tell the people, man, I'll wait till the sun goes down, maybe, with a chill. You know, they're relaxed around their fires. I don't know why it took them so long, but it took them a little bit of time. Moses stretched out his hand to the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all that night and turned the seabed into dry land, and the waters were divided. And the Israelites went into the middle of the sea on dry land. And the waters formed a wall on either side of them, the right and the left. And then the Egyptians pursued them in the middle of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and all his war chariots and charioteers. So it happened. At the early morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and put them in a state of confusion. He made their chariot wheels hard to turn and the chariots difficult to drive. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. I actually have some footage on two different fronts. Can we play one of my footages? Yeah, something like that. That's the Prince of Egypt. I love that. Like, boom, all right. Moses, sweet move. And this is the other one I'm more familiar with. I got a picture. You know, there it is. Something like that, maybe. Exodus 14, 26. Say then. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so the waves may come back over the Egyptians on their war chariots and over their charioteers. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal flow at sunrise. And the Egyptians retreated right into it, being met by the returning water. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians and tossed them into the sea. The waters returned and covered their chariots and the charioteers and the army, all after the sea. Not even one of them survived that went into the sea. But the Israelites walked on dry land in the middle of the sea, and the waters formed a wall for them on their right hand and their left. And the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw that the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord. Say, that's wise. Sometimes, like, being friend of God is great, but you can't be such a good friend that you think you can talk back. Because I can talk back to my friends. I talk smack with my friends. Sometimes, ever been disrespected by a friend? But they're still your friend. That is not moves I think we should try with God. And I think the Israelites needed to know, look, I got you out all this, but I also see that you're just a complaining, fussy bunch of dysfunctional, living Egyptians that I need to get Israelites back out of them. So he starts a quest to do that, and they march into the desert. Fear the Lord with reverence and awe, respect, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So my question today, it's super early, it's going to be great. Does anybody need deliverance from slavery? I mean, today could be your freedom from addiction. It can happen in a moment. Maybe you're like, you know, social media is just, I spend more time on social media than I do eating and breathing and talking to my humans. Could be an addiction. Maybe you're codependent on somebody or something. Maybe you were so steeped in dysfunctional living that, you know, this is your season, I got to get out of it. Right? Does anybody need deliverance from the Egyptians in your life? Today could be your day. How about anybody having trouble obeying him, especially when it seems that those things want to trap you in? Like, oh, you're confining me. Why are you just making me stay here? Why do I got to be in this moment? This makes no sense that you would put me here. And you're kind of feeling like your back's against the wall, but you know God has your back against the wall. You just need to hear from him. Be still. Be here from him today. So if you need deliverance, you need some stillness. I think we get it today because next week we're going to talk about living free in the desert isn't the goal. Living free in the desert isn't the goal. Getting to the promised land is the goal. And that's a process, right? So if you'd like to stand, if you want individual prayer, you can come up front. If you want to just hug your neighbor and leave, you can. If you want just to have prayer from your seat, just raise your hand up. I won't call your name out, but I'll pray for you. Because I feel like days like this, we take them kind of for granted, like it's churchy. So many of these moments in my life changed me forever. That song, Holy of Holies, when that first song came out, when I heard it for the very first time, Take Me In, I didn't really know necessarily what it was about. I felt the presence of God so much, I was crying in front of people I didn't know, and I didn't do that. Crying is not something I did. Now I do all the time. Andrew was betting at the wedding. He goes, hey, I go, what? And he goes, I'm betting you cry before Wendy even gets up the aisle. I said, I want to smack you. Don't do me dirty like that. Andrew, you're my friend. Dude, she just shanked me right there. But I had those moments where I needed God to just show up in my seat. I needed him to show up at church because that's why I went. I mean, it's great to hear what Pastor has to say and sing with the worship team. But if I'm not hearing from God, and letting him change me forever than I just in the desert. Right? So if you want out of the desert, just raise your hand up to him. If there's something in Egypt that just keeps tracking you down and you seem back against the wall, put your hand up to him. If this is your season to see Egypt completely destroyed in your life and the things it's been trying to do and grab a hold of you and take God's place, put your hand up. Not to me. I'm not even looking at your hand right now. I just feel like the Lord wants to see that you're willing to make an action step. You're willing to hit the sled. You're willing to get the extra inches. You're willing to do the thing he asked you to do, even though it's tough, because freedom matters that much. And if freedom doesn't matter that much, then make obedience matter that much. So, Father, here we are as your people. Our backs up against the sea. And we live in the desert. I'm asking that you bring deliverance to every hand today and every heart. Everybody's different, Lord. Every addiction would be smashed and they would see the bodies of it lying up on the shore of their past. Lord God, the things in their lives, Lord, that are controlling us, Father, those mindsets that we were just steeped in, we don't even know how to live as believers because we've been trapped in this culture that crushes us on a regular basis and expects us to worship the things they wanted to worship. And it's forming me, God, and I want that to stop. Father, do that today. Do something so miraculous in your people that they have to say, of each individual, they have to acknowledge, you are Lord. Only you can smash idols. Only you can deliver out of the impossible circumstance. And there's so many impossible circumstances today that are represented, Lord. So as a representative, I'm nobody. I just stretch my staff out over them and say, part the waters, Father. Part the waters for them, Lord God, and close about their Egyptians today. That you'd be glorified in their freedom. You'd be glorified in their freedom. And they would not wear any heaviness when they walk out of here today, Lord God. You would free them. Shame would be removed because shame could be an addiction too. So, Father, we break shame. Lord, we break fear. We break, Father, all the things that kept us chained from being and serving you. We break them right now, Father, in Jesus' name. That you'd be glorified. Send us out with a song, Pastor Joe. Okay. Yeah.
Jesus, I felt like Jesus was showing me that there's some people that your approach to the pain and the addictions and the problems is avoidance. Mm. And just like as the Israelites were placed right in front of the sea and they saw no way out and they were commanded to take a step forward. And some of us, especially who have endured some childhood trauma, we've endured some serious betrayals. Our hearts avoid those things as much as possible because we don't want to feel that same kind of pain that we felt in those moments when we were abused. And I felt like the Father said, take a step into it. Face it. Face it, and you'll find him in the middle of it. You won't become free from the pain that follows you and the heartache that follows you and the mindsets that follow you that were based on that trauma or that abuse. You will not be free until you face it and find him in the middle of it. And he's going to split that thing open.
Yes.
And then you'll walk through it. And when you walk through it, you'll look back and see the shame, the anger, the bitterness, the frustration, the discouragement, the hopelessness, all drowned. And it will be drowned in his love for you.
Thank you.
I really felt like there were some people that Pastor Sean, when he made the call, you need to come up. It was regarding a traumatic situation that has followed you and you don't find freedom. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to come up. Because God loves you and he doesn't require you to face this pain because he loves punishment, but he loves for us to be free. He wants your freedom more than you want your freedom. He wants your healing more than you want your healing. But he knows how it needs to be done. Would you trust him today and take that step forward? Would you trust him today? with your greatest wound and your greatest heartache today. The thing that you've been avoiding, would you trust Him and bring it to Him today?
You're welcome to stand and pray or hug somebody. Father, I thank you. I'm privileged to represent you sometimes when people are vulnerable and they have needs. So, Lord, I pray that you'd meet her in her needs. Deliver her, Father God, from mindsets that she may have picked up, of course, in her life. Healings where she needs healings, Father God. Do, Father, for her what she cannot do for herself. I thank you, Father, that you meet individuals and speak individuals to this very day. So, Lord, we speak life where the enemy's brought death. We speak resurrection, Father God. We speak freedom, Father. We speak wholeness, Father. And that no weapon formed against her would be allowed to prosper according to your word, according to your promise, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord.